This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hey, Commodores, this is Abby Woods, and welcome back to your Q&A with the Dean. Hey, Dean Grisolfi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Oh, awesome. So I've been checking my emails a little bit, and I saw that we have another Dean's Dinner coming up. And I guess by the time that you guys are listening to this, it'll be over. But it was about something along the topic of discussing racism and anti-Semitism. And so that just kind of piqued my interest because I was wondering, you know, as someone who probably won't be able to attend, but I still want to know a little bit more about it. Do you have like a opinion on why we separate the two, like racism and anti-Semitism?
Oh, well, gosh, Abby, you need to give me some warning for that one. Okay, so first let me say that the Dean's Dinner on Racism and Anti-Semitism is, and you're right, this episode is airing the day after the dinner, but it is. It goes with a panel that is was organized by Vice Provost Tiffany Tung and Allison Schachter, who's the chair of Jewish Studies, and they brought in guest scholars from Fordham, who are one scholar is a scholar of Jewish Studies, and the other is a professor of history who studies African American culture, among other things. So. And so that's the conversation, and those will be the guests. I personally am neither an expertise on anti-Semitism or racism, so it's not, you know, me moderating the panel, but that's what the dinner and the panel is about. So I think that this is really complicated, right? Because on the one hand, we can and often do group together all these kind of sort of isms, right? Yeah. So anti-Semitism, racism, sexism, like all these things that sort of decide that some people are part of an outgroup and they are less than as a consequence.
Right.
And so in some ways, anyone who is part of what might be a marginalized group in that way shares a kind of common experience in the world of being judged based on something that may or may not be visible about them, but also may or may not like be reasonable as a criteria. That's actually a very neutral way to describe what is actually hateful. Yes, so let me I needed some prep. And so on the like in some ways you could put together anti-Semitism and racism. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the history of the ways that Jewish peoples and Black people are treated in this country are different, or globally are different. And so sometimes I think you find, and this happened on our own campus, that people can be very opposed to anti-Semitism and people can be very opposed to racism, but sometimes there's conflict. And so one place this conflict sometimes comes up in the ways that people are thinking about Palestine.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm not a scholar in this area either, so I'm not going to wax poetic about the issue, but it can be the case that sometimes people who are talking about what Israel, like how Israel as a country is acting in relation to Palestine, gets interpreted and felt by some people as anti-Semitic.
Right.
Whereas other people might feel like what they're actually talking about is an act of colonialism, right? Which feels very familiar to other kinds of narratives. And so I think that the reason that we're bringing those two kinds of aspects of hate together into conversation is because it is important, I think, to think about what is being done to people who are marginalized or coming from marginalized communities, and how do we prevent that, and also help us think about how we think across these different aspects of marginalization.
Yeah, I mean, for catching you off guard, that was an amazing answer.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate that. You're right. I should have warned you a little bit. But I thought that was an amazing answer. I mean, that's why I got interested in it in the first place. So thank you for that. And then just another question just going off of that. Why do you think it's important to continue these conversations for like students that are in college? Because I think we have a general understanding of like some of the issues that marginalized communities face. But why is it important to keep talking about it as college students?
Well, I think it's important to keep talking about it your whole life.
Right.
And so I remember when I was in high school, I had a teacher who told us all in a class, you don't actually know what you believe until someone has challenged those beliefs. And that has obviously always stuck with me. I think it's really interesting because, you know, I think that most, it is my potentially overly optimistic opinion that most people really do try to be kind and good people and think of themselves as good people.
Yeah.
And yet we all are also complicit in doing things that are unkind and outright hateful, mm-hmm. sometimes on purpose, and sometimes we're not aware. Mm-hmm. And so without constantly discussing other people's experiences, we really can't be made aware of the things that we're doing unconsciously. And I personally find that even though I feel like, you know, I read all the time, I have friends who don't only look like me and our friendship is close enough that they'll tell me when I did something wrong,
right.
I still make mistakes pretty regularly. And talking to my friends and talking to other people helps me really get a better insight into other people's experience. So not only is it important to continue talking about this in college, and, you know, college is one of the first places where you usually do get surrounded by people who really are coming from different backgrounds than you are.
For sure. Like, just going off of that, I came from Missouri, and my high school, like, I'm not going to lie, it was probably 99% white. So coming here, I was exposed to so many different people, and I didn't expect being exposed to people from, like, not just, you know, different backgrounds, but different nationalities, different, a lot of people were bilingual here or trilingual, and it was so interesting to me. And so I think that, you know, it can be really intimidating to just assume that you know everything about all these issues. So just keeping these conversations up is a really just, I don't know, smart way to, I guess, stay open-minded, stay compassionate, because I think I think all of us are good people deep down, but I think in order to, you know, stay compassionate and, you know, just continue to be nice with everybody, we still need to have these conversations about just race and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that you know, I think you know this, but sometimes it can be hard to believe, is that, you know, these conversations change a lot too. So when I was in college, I don't think it was even a thing to use they, them pronouns. Of course, there were people who were transgender, and throughout history, mm-hmm. you know, humanity, there's been people who are transgender, but it really wasn't part of the everyday conversation amongst college students in the way it is now. And non-binary mm-hmm. as an idea, certainly some people were thinking about it, but it wasn't in the everyday conversation the way it is now. And so, if you're not constantly talking, if you're not constantly learning, you're also, like, kind of unaware of the ways that the situation is really changing.
That is such a good point. And I also think, like, from talking to you for a while, I've just been able to know that you love learning about everything under the sun. I have not heard you say you don't like learning about something. So just as more of a general question, why do you like learning so much?
Well, you know, I study learning. Like, that's my area.
Yes.
So, I mean, I do think that learning is really fascinating. And personally, just in terms of, like, the act of learning, mm-hmm. I think is fascinating. And trying to understand, like, why people – so there's a lot of ways to figure out why do people act the way they do. And learning is not the only aspect of people's behavior. But I can't even tell you why that is so interesting to me. But it actually always has been very interesting to me. In terms of, like, my own learning, of, like, understanding and learning new things, I am so bored. I get bored really easily. And so, you know, there's kind of this natural progression in your life where you're sort of in an elementary school, and then you shift context to a middle school, and then you shift context to a high school. And then if you go to college, that's another context. And I just had this constant shift. So I didn't notice, actually, that I get bored really easily until I was an assistant professor at Indiana University. And I was in, you know, when you're an assistant professor going up for tenure, you have 6 years before you get tenure. So I remember really clear, and you submit your materials in the spring of your fifth year.
Oh,
and then you hear in your 6 year, it takes a whole year. It's dramatic. So I was getting ready to submit my materials in my fifth year. And I remember, and often people apply for jobs that year. Mm-hmm. just in case you don't get tenure. And so I was saying to Jason, my husband, you know, let's talk about where we want to move. Where am I going to apply? And let's think about all the opportunities. And Jason was like, why would we move? And I was like, this is a great opportunity to try something new, to go to a new place. And, you know, he said, I think this, it was like the longest we'd ever lived in one place.
Oh, wow.
And he said, are you actually like unhappy and wanting to leave? Or are you in a habit of disruption? And, you know, I was like, you're wrong. But but in fact, I actually, and then we left, actually, we did. That's when I came to Vanderbilt.
Yes.
But
thankfully.
But now we have been here since 2012, although I did have to like literally sign a contract that we would not move, like, that he wrote.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah. You don't want to get bored again.
Well, but, you know, I actually, like, I really think that he's right. And, you know, it's partly why I became Dean of Commons, actually, because I was like, I'd been here 7 years and I was like, well, I need something new to do.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why I'm constantly reading new things, because I just get a little bored.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And I do think it's kind of poetic now that you live on Commons and you've lived on Commons for some time. And while you're not moving, all of these other first years are constantly moving around you. So I think you're still, as long as you're there, you're always going to have that impact of starting fresh with all of these new students. So I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's a good fit for me, for sure.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening to this week's Q&A with the Dean. Make sure to stay tuned for our next episode. This is Abby Woods signing off. Hey, Commodores. It's been so long since I last saw you. Is that a new haircut? You look great. Well, this is Abby, back with your Commons calendar. All my Greek members, if you're still needing some GME credit, tonight there will be Advice with a Slice from 4:30 to 6 p.m. in Furman 114, where you can learn how to leverage LinkedIn, gain some pizza, advice, and of course, that amazing GME credit. On Friday, the BCC is hosting a casino night from 6 to 10 p.m. Now, you can't gamble real money, but there will be card game tournaments, food and drink, and big prizes at the end of the night, so you don't want to miss out. They encourage you guys to dress how you would if you were going to the real casino, so it's going to be a super fun event. On Saturday night, Zeta Tau Alpha will be hosting the Big Man on Campus pageant, where guys from all different student orgs can compete in dance, singing, and interview rounds, all to raise funds for breast cancer education and awareness. Finally, on Tuesday, April 4th, you have to come to the Momentum Dance Company Spring Showcase from 5:30 to 8 p.m. in Langford Auditorium. Come see what these talented dancers have to offer in this one-of-a-kind showcase. Well, that's all for this week's Commons Calendar. And once again, this is Abby Woods, signing off.
Hey Doors, I'm Igan Iscario, a first-year student here at Vanderbilt and your host for this week's Human of the Commons interview. My guest is Jamie Wright, a first-year student from Monona, Wisconsin, majoring in neuroscience with a minor in Spanish. She also lives in Hank Ingram House. Jamie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, what's your major, your interests, your passions?
Yeah, so I'm majoring in neuroscience, pre-medicine. I want to be a doctor. I'm thinking neurosurgery for a career, and I want to do research for sure. And I want a minor in Spanish. I think it's really useful for doctors to speak some Spanish in this country.
It's crazy that you're still pre-med. I know most people are weeded out at this point, so kind of check in with us. Like, how is that going?
Yeah, everyone else left, so I'm basically alone. All my friends left me. But I like it. I really want to stick with it. It's hard, but I think it's worth it.
Do you think how demanding and how rigorous the program is that weeds everyone out, do you think it's justified from your point of view? Or, like, do you think it's necessary that if you want to help people in the future, you're held to that standard this earlier on?
I think in general, I think it's good. Like, it's important that doctors are hardworking and that they have, I guess, that they're smart. But at Vanderbilt, I think that everyone here is clearly hardworking and smart. I think that anyone at Vanderbilt who wants to be pre-med should be able to be pre-med.
That's fair. And I think that's a very simplistic way of, like, viewing it, because, like, I know a lot of different factors come into play. So if you can just talk about your experience being a neuroscience major, can you give insight into, like, the department, the teacher, the syllabi, the TAs, just all the tea?
Yeah, well, I took intro neuro last semester with Leslie Smith. She's adorable.
I was in the same class.
No way. We talked about this before.
We knew this. Yeah.
I sat in the back. I was always late. So oof. I don't know. Well, I was always right on time, never quite late. She was adorable. She's so funny. She came into my psych class a couple of days ago, a Monday.
Really?
It was so cute. Yeah.
What did she say?
She talked about brain diseases, like strokes and stuff.
She would talk about that.
Yeah, like the same slides from last semester.
That was so funny. With the artwork associated with different mental illnesses.
Wait, I don't know if she brought that. I don't think she did. I wish. It was like strokes and it was mostly strokes. Honestly, I don't know. I'd already seen it, so I like didn't need to see it again.
But speaking about like support and resources, like how have you found that at Vandy when it comes to being a neuroscience major or just a pre-med student in general?
There is a neuroscience major club. It's not what it's called, but something like that. And I went to, I think, one meeting. They had Crumble. It was really cute. And they talked about the classes you should take and what good classes are. And it was really nice. My VU scepter was actually, I think, like the president or something, Ali. He's so sweet.
Oh, wow.
So that was really nice. Yeah.
So can you talk about like how, like what are your interests or like involvement when it comes to your major? Like, are you wanting to fully focus on your professional and like development in your career? Or do you do some fun things outside of, you know, your major academics?
You mean like extracurriculars or just?
I guess that's, yeah.
Well, so far, the first semester, I was in the marching band. I played the piccolo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that took up a lot of my time. So that was the main thing. And that was really fun.
I bet you get a lot of behind the scenes if you're in the marching band when it comes to like the games and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. It was a really fun experience. I met a lot of great people. Like one of my best friends, Abby, I met her. Aww. She's so sweet. Shout out to Abby. I don't think I'm not sure if I'm going to do it next year because it takes up a lot of time and I have a pretty busy major already, but no regrets. I'm glad I did it. And it's really nice. I got to move in early actually for that. And I met a lot of people, some people at Belmont too. So that's really fun. It's nice to have friends who have cars.
Interesting. For
no,
sure.
They're also just great people. Mostly that. But it was a fun experience. And it's nice when you're a freshman to like know that you're going to have some friends, not have to worry about that so much.
For sure. And I think especially with a pretty demanding major like neuroscience, it's really easy for people to have a lot on their plate on top of that because that needs to be the foundation, right? You need like a good academic standing before you participate in any other stuff. And I feel like some people kind of get that balance off and that's what maybe contributes to them burning out. Or maybe it's just like some things in the department that contributes to weed out. But how would you like talk about your experience of balancing those extracurriculars, those socials with your coursework?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, even though coursework can be a lot, especially last semester, I had so much work. I think that I actually probably would have done worse in my classes if I hadn't had like a more balanced social life. So I think having more of a balance actually helped me out because it kept me sane, or, you know, as sane as I ever am.
Yeah.
And I think that if I hadn't done any extracurriculars, I would have just been really depressed all the time. And that would have made my coursework worse and just everything would have been worse.
For sure. And I think you mentioned Abby. Yeah. We love Abby.
Abby made everything better.
Yeah, Abby and Kelsey. So can you talk about that whole experience about moving into college and living in close proximity with like some of your really close best friends? And how's that experience been like for you on Commons?
Yeah, it's really nice. I came to Vanderbilt not knowing anyone else here. But Kelsey's actually one of my best friends here. Shout out to Kelsey, too. And she was in my visions group, so that was really nice. I met her my first day here. Well, first official day after band. So that was really nice. And we were, like, friendly at first, but then at some point she asked, like, the group chat for visions if someone wanted to go to Trader Joe's with her. And I was like, always, yeah. So she and I went to Trader Joe's, and then she had a ticket for ABBA night. But she didn't have anyone to go with. I think the person she was going to go with couldn't or something. I don't know. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll go with you. And I was kind of iffy on it. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but I had a lot of fun.
Disco night is so fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And then we went to Pitbull maybe like a week later or something. That was so much fun. Core memory.
So back to back, like bonding moments.
Yeah, for sure. And I went to Pitbull with like, I guess when they had the Frisbee tournament, a lot of people on my floor went together to watch. Mm. And like Allison, Olivia, Rhea. Definitely forgetting someone. I feel so bad. But
when she said Frisbee tournament, guys, that's in reference to the Commons Cup, which is like a competition we have here in Commons among the freshman houses. So obviously you were rooting for Hank, or were you rooting for someone else?
Obviously, always Hank. Hank's okay. The best. We had some cheers going on. It was really cute. Yeah.
It was so unfair. Y'all had so many people. Crawford still won.
No,
them.
Crawford sucks.
We won them.
Well, you shouldn't have. But we started talking about Pitbull, and Allison just got a bunch of tickets, and we found, I think she got like 8 or something, and we found people to fill the spots, and that was so much fun. I'm so glad we did it.
Where was I?
Yeah, where were you?
Literally, where was I?
Well, you were in Crawford, that's why.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So embarrassing.
Okay, so I think you touched on it a little bit, but like, there's so much fun things to do here, like all the time. So like, I know that you're being pulled in many different directions because you're like, ooh, that sounds fun. Or like, wow, that's a really good time. How do you like kind of evaluate how you spend your time when it comes to living in Nashville or even on campus?
Honestly, if someone like invites me to something, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say yes, no matter what's going on in my life. I don't like disappointing people. So like back to like Abenay, I was like, I don't know if I really want to go, but I win. Cause I was like, oh, I'll feel bad if I don't go, but I'm so glad I went. And honestly, like if I'm too rational about like, oh, I shouldn't go out, I have homework, then I might never go out. And then like, that's no fun. So I always end up being so glad once I go out.
Yeah. And I think it's a good, like, I don't know. Sometimes it can get to a toxic level where like,
for sure,
you say yes to everything, you're overwhelmed, you're taking more than you can. But have you ever gotten to that point where you're just like, I need to stop?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm pretty lucky that like my friends here also have pretty well balanced social lives. And so like social work life balance and everything. And we like to work in the common room a lot on Hank 4. So I'll go out there and I'll do work. And it's nice to be around other people because maybe more than half the time we're just being social, but then like we all need to do work. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like peer pressure. I'm like, okay, well, if they're all doing work, I guess I'll do some work too. Fine. You know? So it works out.
Oh my God. Not the reverse peer pressure.
The reverse peer pressure. Yeah.
Honestly, we were talking about making like a group Pinterest last night and we were need two boards, one for work and one for play. And they always have to be balanced.
Yeah, for sure. Like I think when people go off to college, like when you're younger in high school, you see people posting college, they're always partying and stuff. There's no proof they do any work, but that's actually like most of it.
Yeah. That's like the side that, unless you're on people's private story, which
yeah,
people like, I don't know. I like to be aesthetic. If I get my little Susie's, my notebook out, and my little bright space.
Yeah, me, like all of my B-reels are like at Starbucks doing work, even just like a free ice water there, you know, like they're going to get mad. Gosh. They're going to kick me out and be like, okay, pay for something or leave. Stop using our Wi-Fi and the like ambiance to do your work.
That's so funny. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how that makes you broke.
No, let's not talk about it. No, I actually used to work at Starbucks, so I feel more justified. I actually worked at the one here for a little bit, but they wanted
Which
me to
one?
Work.
The one by the bookstore or the one?
No,
on
the other
21st.
One, 21st, yeah. 21st. They want me to come in at like 4 a.m. and I was like, I would so love to, but I'm going to get kidnapped and murdered. So maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah. And then I got COVID and I was like, well, it's the perfect time to quit. So I quit then. Yeah. Valid. I had COVID twice this year. It's awful.
So how was that experience? Because I know one of my friends had COVID the first week of school. So yeah, she missed a lot of that essential like bonding that everyone does in the first few weeks. Because like she couldn't go to the event. She couldn't like have quality time with people before people started setting into their friend groups. But I think later on into the year, I think it's more about the work that you missed and like not so much as the FOMO. Because then you know that your friends are there for you when you get back. Can you talk about how it was like, because I'm assuming you self-quarantined, right?
Yeah. So actually the first time, I think I had maybe the second week of school, that didn't end up being so, I felt really awful, but it was like, I think I got it maybe halfway through the week. So I think I had it for a couple days before I got tested. So before I didn't know I'd been exposed. I just assumed I was like, just had a cold or something. So I didn't have to miss as much school as if I had like known to begin with, I guess. Yeah. So that wasn't so bad. But then this semester I got it too. And I actually have POTS, if you know what that is.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm immunocompromised. So when I got it this semester, it was really bad. I like couldn't even like get in and out of my bed. It's lofted. So I actually went to a hotel for a week. Yeah.
That's insane.
So that was bad. I couldn't even look at like my computer. So I was like, no work was done all week. It was terrible. So that took a while to catch up, but I figured it out.
So how was like the support from Vanderbilt when that was happening?
I don't know what I don't think I got much from Vanderbilt, but all my professors were super supportive. Mm. And basically, you know, I think they all were pretty much like, take all the time you need, whatever I can do to help. One of my, my Spanish professor, Falcone, he actually let me take one of my exams from home. Oh, wow. So that was really nice. And yeah, everyone was super supportive, all my professors, and my friends were nice. Kelsey actually, so I got to take the COVID meds because of having a really bad reaction to it. So she actually like picked them up from CVS and brought them to me. It was so sweet. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, because there was like a shift towards prioritizing online learning and online platforms when the pandemic happened. So how would you say it was navigating like all the course material and assignments remotely?
It was okay. Honestly, I was feeling so sick that I didn't really do much when I had when I actually had COVID. Mm. I did most of my work after I got better. That's Brightspace is usually pretty well organized, and I think all of my professors put their like slides from lecture online, so that was really nice.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Oh no.
Lucky you.
And not everyone can say that for
Econ
sure. Econ
professor who shall not be named.
Oh no.
Does not put anything on Brightspace.
That's awful.
Even if you take notes, like taking notes, going to class, great, that's fine. Not having reference material is just. What's like your most aggravating like experience with a professor?
I think, well, there was one professor where, I'm not going to say who or anything, but we had to turn in a bunch of papers for the class. And at some point he's like, hey, Jamie, can I talk to you? So you haven't turned in any papers for this class. And I'm like, I promise you I have. And so he has you like email them to him. So I went through my email and I showed him and he was like, oh, I just like somehow didn't get that. I think it all went to spam. So he's like, I show him the timestamp and everything. And he's like, it's Google Docs, luckily. So it shows you the timestamps and everything. Yeah. And he's like, oh, just kidding. You're fine. And so it wasn't at all my fault. Like everything is fine. But then like we were like halfway through the semester and like I haven't gotten any feedback on any of my work. And I'm like, I would really like to know if I'm going to pass this class or not. Like, just let me know.
Yeah.
So it'll be okay. But it wasn't. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, it's not completely his fault, yeah. But like, I don't know. He was really nice and everything, but for about like an hour, I was extremely stressed and I was like, maybe I should just drop out of school. Just, you know.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I was being dramatic. No, like even if I had like for some reason failed the class, I would have survived.
Yeah. The world goes on.
Exactly. I don't know. I could like join the circus or something. I don't know what I would do, but I'll figure something out.
Yeah, too. Okay, let's bring it back to commons because this is my commons life. What are your top three memories in commons?
When it was like, I guess when it was homecoming week and they had those like the food trucks with the ice cream, that was amazing.
Oh yeah,
I loved that.
They had a flower truck, but like they ran out so quickly.
That's so sad. Oh my gosh, the de-stress event, that was really cute.
Or we got free sweatpants.
No.
Oh, never mind.
Oh,
other one.
Wait. I don't know. They had like pizza and they had Panera. And then honestly, at some point, Hank Ford is such a cute floor. we had like a s'mores night where we made s'mores. And that was so nice.
Inside?
Group bonding. I don't think I'm supposed to say, actually.
It was in the kitchen, guys. It's fine.
It was really safe. No, it was safe.
So
we
safe.
Were very responsible. Well, allegedly it was
allegedly
it was checked off with like fire marshal or something to be safe. I don't believe that. No, I'm sure it was fine.
Totally.
It was a little sketchy. We used those little green fire starters, and I ripped open a marshmallow somehow, I guess, and it was like green on the inside, like lime green.
Green marshmallows?
I still ate it though.
Oh,
I had no shame. I was like, it's a marshmallow, so who cares?
That's so bold of you.
Yeah, well, I already lit it on fire, so it couldn't get much worse, you know?
So true. And what a metaphor.
Exactly.
What a way to end this podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today,
yeah,
Jamie.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you for all of our listeners. This is Aygin Iscario, and you have been listening to the Humans of the Commons interview.
CommonsCast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to CommonsCast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.